The Cat Attack Podcast. KERS Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the KERS Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Thanks to Jared and the team.
You finally got it right.
Yes, I was all over it, King. Jared was just locked and loaded. Let's hope the Cats are locked and loaded, freshened up. Do you like to freshen up, Kingy? Are you good fresh?
Good first up.
Are you? You know what they say, do they?
I'm better first up.
Are you more a 1,200-metre sort of animal, or do you like to sort of stretch yourself out over a trip?
Over a mile.
Oh, over a mile.
That's where the money is, Ben.
You're a miler sprinter.
There's money.
Well, that's the biggest fallacy in racing. There's some of the stallions are, but some of the two biggest prize money races are both 2,400 and 3,200, I think.
Yeah, but consistently you get more good money over the mile, don't you?
Oh, I don't know.
Possibly. You're in the game.
Well, I don't know. I just think the staying ranks is... Anyway, we won't go on about that. We'll go on about the Cats.
Staying racing's overrated.
Oh, it's good. I love to stay all day.
Did you get a phone call, by the way? Somebody was chasing you, wanting some stuff about Charlie Rose.
Yeah, some woman, Natalia, rang me.
All right.
And I couldn't, unfortunately, help her.
Yeah, right. So you have nothing left.
No.
Where's the cup?
The cup, we don't know. We've left a launch. No, I don't know. I don't know where it went. We auctioned it off, and I don't know who bought it. And the guys,
is in the Geelong Cup?
We auctioned it off amongst the. It's only fair way to the ownership group,
right?
So, and somebody purchased it.
Okay.
So, but I don't know who, and I don't know all the owners. So the guy I did think owned it didn't. Who purchased it didn't, and he had no idea either. So we're sort of in a quandary.
So for those
who've ever been in a quandary,
working with you every week leaves me in a quandary. For those who don't know, Charlie Rose, horse that Ben part owned,
yes,
won the Geelong Cup, ran in the Melbourne Cup 2021.
COVID, I was the only one there.
Yep,
it was me and Dean Holland, rest in peace, who's now passed away, unfortunately. But it was an eerie feeling, King. It was a highlight of your sort of something I've always dreamed of, and there was nobody there.
Yep. It was bizarre. Cats have lost four of their last five, Ben, to Carlton,
yes,
including
King.
In round 12.
Yep. Meaningless middle of the season games they've lost to Carlton.
Yep. But that meaningless loss cost them top four spot.
I don't mean that frivolously, but I mean that in that Carlton have sort of seemingly got Geelong sometimes at times when they're due for their traditional lull. Yep. They have a stinker. That happened this year, and Carlton were good enough to take advantage. Kingy, you know, how would you describe my perspective on the Pussycats?
You're always pessimistic.
Yeah. Geelong will beat Carlton comfortably on Friday night.
Wow.
That's my take.
Okay. Why is that your take?
I just think Geelong they have far more experience. They have a lot more talent at this stage across the board. Carlton is still building. They've got a lot of younger players who are still developing, and that's fantastic. But Geelong, across the board, I think have a huge advantage in terms of experience, have a huge advantage in terms of finals experience. They have the match winners, and they have some matchups that I don't think would really suit Carlton, particularly up forward.
Yes.
Now, Wiedering, he was unbelievable last week. He's a gun. He probably goes to Neil.
Correct.
Then who goes to Dangerfield? Probably Cowan.
Mm. Who goes to Polkinghorne?
Who goes to Ollie Henry?
Yeah. Who does Harry Dean go to?
Well, that's the big one.
Where does Cameron play? It's going to come down to where does Cameron actually line up?
Well, I mean, I think he's going to have to go forward at times, I reckon he might start on the wing, Cameron. Because do you reckon if the Cats start Cameron on the wing, do you think that they're thinking that, and as good as Cameron's been, that the forward line has looked really good when he's not there? We don't want to just rush him straight back into the forward line. So let's find a role that suits him. They played him down back. I don't like him down back. No. He's too blasé.
He can use the footy well, though.
He can, but geez, in the back line, he bites off way more than he can chew at times and turns it over and it costs you.
Because he's probably found himself in his career trying to bite off more than he can chew inside the forward line. And when you do that, it doesn't hurt as much.
Well, it doesn't, only because it's the fourth kick that goes through for goal, not the second kick after you've cocked it up.
Correct.
So he's played like that and he's had license to play like that. You don't want him playing like that in the back half.
No.
If he plays wing forward, I think you probably get away with it because he has got good running capacity, and you do want him at times kicking the ball inside forward 50 because he will hit a kick that others can't.
Yes.
So I got a funny feeling he might start on the wing, but he will also at times you would have thought drift and play forward to create a mismatch. Now, Dean is probably the one that goes to him. Now, Dean is being talked about, you know, as we would talk about Connor O'Sullivan in terms of his development. He's been fantastic. He's a year behind Connor O'Sullivan. He's played.
Well, he's really effectively two because he was only drafted last year.
So he's played pretty much, what, 20-odd games?
Would be that, yeah.
Yeah, very good player and on the up. So he
21, Benny?
Yeah.
He's missed what? So they've played 24, he's missed three.
So he's probably the matchup for Cameron in terms of height-wise.
194.
They've been playing Chera in defence.
As a halfback.
Yeah, he's a bit hit and miss. Wilson's an up-and-comer.
Yep.
He's been okay, very inexperienced as well. I just think you look at it, and then at the other end, does De Koning go to Mackay? I hope so.
O'Sullivan could go there.
He could. I just like O'Connor to go. I just like De Koning at 204. He's built like a man to play on Mackay. That allows O'Sullivan there to play the lesser role.
And they're same height too.
Edwards Mackay. In the ruck.
Yep.
Blitzarv's helping out in the ruck.
Yep.
And then De Koning and O'Sullivan as your key defenders. So, and then, you know, that means O'Sullivan could go to someone like a Kemp.
Yep.
Who's been pretty good for Carlton.
Well, did Jack Henry go to Kemp?
Well, there was a little bit of doubt over Jack Henry with his foot. So I don't know that he
okay.
Hopefully he gets up, but he's had pretty much feet problems for the last, what?
Oh, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. So there was some
He would be the right matchup, though, I think, Jack Henry.
For Kemp?
Yep.
Yeah, possibly. Or O'Sullivan. I think he certainly won for Kemp.
Who goes to McGovern?
Yeah, well, that's probably where I'd be looking I'd be looking at Henry on McGovern.
Yep.
And or at a stretch, yeah, I'd say Henry on McGovern. I'd be looking at O'Sullivan on Kemp, and I'd be going De Koning onto Mackay. That's how I'd be rationalising it in my cranium.
Taylor Byrne?
Well, he's a young player. I mean, you don't.
That'll be O'Connor, won't it?
Well, possibly even a Humphreys.
Yep.
You know, I mean. Yeah, Byrne is his first year player. Oh, second is his second year? First year. First year player from Koroit.
Yep.
So some of the guy I work with played with him, and they go up and watch him all the time. So, yeah, look, he's a young player. I don't know that you need to be sort of having a, you know, an absolute matchup. They're the sort of players that will rotate through. You might find it sometimes Zach Guthrie's on him. Humphreys might be on him. I mean, do you put Stewart onto him and hope that he can tail Byrne up the other way? You know, that gives Byrne something to think about having to play on somebody like Stewart. I just think the matchups really suit Geelong back and forward. Midfield is probably a little more blurry. Now, Mullen will tag Smith. Is it Smith or is it Walsh?
Walsh. So, I think Walsh. So you've got to remember, this will be Jagger Smith's second final. Sam Walsh is unbelievably elite. I think Mullen has to go to Walsh.
Yeah, you could frame it either way, Kingy, I reckon. I'm the other way. I'd be going Smith.
So you're going to a bloke who's played 20 games?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think Smith has more creativity than Walsh. Walsh is a straight line sort of. He's not the greatest kick in the world. He's not a poor kick, but he's not a great kick. Yeah, it's probably Bailey Smith sort of areas, I suppose. I mean, Bailey Smith's not a bad kick. He's not a super kick. And I think that's Walsh. Now, Walsh runs hard. He receives a lot of the footy. I think you maybe shut Walsh off a little bit if you stop Smith. Because Smith is the one who's dealing it out to him. He's the one that's really good around clearances. If you're short-circuiting that to a degree, I reckon you cut Walsh off a little bit. Now, Walsh is going to get a fair bit of it. That's, you know, he's a good player. So that's – but I think Smith is the more creative player. So that's why I'd be going to Smith. Now, okay. If he goes to Walsh, I can see exactly why he would go to Walsh. But I would have thought that...
Or can you mix and match?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. I think that becomes too blurry. You know, who does he come off? He's going to have a rest. So I think you go to the player and you go to that player.
So do you have Atkins playing his game?
Well, the other side of the coin was if you did choose to tag Walsh, you'd want to make sure Tommy Atkins is close to Smith around the footy.
Yep.
Now, he's not going to probably keep up with Smith in open play. That isn't really Smith's go. His go is to win the footy, be creative in tight spaces by hand or by foot. He's got elite vision. He's got really good skill. So Atkins plays on him, not tag him, but plays on him. You need to have somebody with an arm across all the time, particularly throw-ins, ball-ups around the ground, centre bounces, all those sorts of things. So if that happens, otherwise you just go to, you say, Mullen, you just shut him off. Because Cripps looked sore last week. He came off during that game against Melbourne. He looks sore. I mean, he's going to play, obviously, but is he at 100%? You'd probably say no, given how sore he looked last week with that left, I think it was his left knee. The other one that it's going to be big for the Cats is, and he's not a fashionable player, doesn't have a huge profile, but he's been really effective, is Pittner. He's been really good for Carlton. He's a physical ruckman. Now, Edwards is young. He's developing. Do we expect Mitch Edwards to play a cracking game? No. If he did, great.
I can see Edwards jumping over him for a lot of the night.
Well, possibly. Possibly. And he's physical, Edwards. So that's a big matchup, though, because Pittner was really good last week against Gorn.
Mm.
And he was really good the week before against Jackson. So he's coming in good form. He's a I don't know how would you describe him, but he's a bit of an unusual sort of player in that he doesn't look much, but he can go forward and he can kick a goal, which he's done this year. He's physical, as I mentioned. He's pretty good in the ruck. He takes marks around the ground. He's actually sort of got every base covered without having a big profile. He's actually been really good for Carlton.
I think Edwards, with the ball up situation rather than the bounce, that'll suit him against Pittnet.
Yeah, if Edwards could break even with Pittnet, I reckon that would be a great result for the Cats, because the midfield area is the one where I don't think Geelong have a decisive advantage. Now, does Holmes play? And if he plays, where does he play?
I think I've got a hunch that he won't play.
Because?
I think they'll back, they can get through and buy him up to eight days. He's right to play.
If he's right to play, why wouldn't he play?
Well, he was right to play in the 2022 grand final too.
He done a hamstring, though, didn't he?
But he was
he
was cleared to play in 2022.
As a 21-year-old who'd had very limited experience.
Yeah.
Chris
Scott said he won't be seduced by the magnet.
Have you ever been seduced?
Not by a magnet.
Really?
You're an idiot. Can we've gone 15 minutes of serious footy talk before you've been...
So my other confidence levels comes from the fact that, okay, Carlton have, what did they start, 1-8?
They did.
Was it 1-8? So they lost to St Kilda.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, I'm going looking here. I'm just looking here, Kingy.
What are you trying to do, Ben?
So what my confidence levels come from the fact that it would be a diabolical end for the Cats season if they lose to the 10th team.
Yes.
That would be my take. Now, Carlton this year, this thing keeps rolling.
What are you out. Trying to...
Well, I'm just getting up the teams that they've beaten in this run that we talk about. So they beat
Brisbane by 76 points.
That was the one standout. Now, they did beat the Cats.
Yep.
But
that's a long time ago now.
That is a long time ago. That was when Geelong were going through some bizarre experimental phase and playing Jack Henry up forward and all sorts of players over the place. And they didn't actually play very well that night, the Cats. But they've beaten...
Well, the win over Freo, it's meritorious, but it's a Freo side that were playing for nothing.
Yes. And they lost... So they lost... after losing to Brisbane, they lost to Brisbane. Okay, they beat the Bulldogs.
Yep.
Okay, that's off. What had happened to them? That was a good win. The Bulldogs troubling any of the top four teams? Probably not.
Unlikely.
They beat Port Adelaide, who are rubbish
over there, though.
Yeah, they did beat them over there, but Port Adelaide are a bottom five team for a reason. Mind you, Geelong couldn't beat them. They beat Geelong. Okay, good win. They beat Essendon by 5 points.
Yep.
They beat GWS, who are putrid. They beat West Coast. They beat Richmond. They got absolutely pizzled by Hawthorn.
Yep,
pizzled.
Six goals.
They beat Collingwood. That form's only just.
No, they lost to Collingwood.
Oh, sorry, they lost to Collingwood. They did. They lost to Collingwood by 21 points. They beat Gold Coast. Up there, good effort. A Gold Coast going any good? Rubbish.
Not at the time.
Brisbane was the one where they played well. And
no, actually, no. They beat Gold Coast down here.
That was at Marvel, wasn't it? Yeah. So that form's not great. They didn't miss the, they're not playing finals. They beat Brisbane, which was a good win. That was a good win. They beat St Kilda. St Kilda were nowhere near it. They drew with the Bulldogs, and then they beat Frio. Frio rested players, were playing for absolutely nothing. So, yes, they had a great run. Did they beat much along the way? Not really.
Outside of Brisbane.
Outside of the Brisbane win, and you would say the Cats, obviously, then, beating the Cats. But, yeah, the Brisbane one was the one, the only game where you'd say, geez, they beat a team who had everything to play for. Their full team in at the time.
Although, did Brisbane know they were going to just fall into third spot?
Well, probably. Well, I can't remember, Kingy, how it fell. But no, I think they were still. I think Hawthorn was still alive to grab them.
Yeah.
Because didn't they beat Hawthorn after that?
The Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The week after.
Yep.
They bounced back and beat Hawthorn. No, so Brisbane had something to play for that night.
Yeah.
Because had they lost to Hawthorn, they would have Geelong would have jumped.
That's what they did after half time, didn't they? They actually kicked 12 goals.
I watched that game, and it was one of those games where, if you were scripting it, absolutely everything went wrong.
Right. Yep.
Kicks around the corner, went straight through for a goal, ball bounced that way. And Carlton took advantage. They were very good. So, and they did the same against Frio. Frio left out a few and had four games in clear on top. What were they playing for? I think you got to factor that in. So I just think Geelong have every base covered other than the midfield. So if they can break even in the midfield, if Mullen can shut down one of Walsh or Smith, Pitney's not allowed to dominate. I think Geelong have got plenty up forward, and they've got the players down back to hold Carlton to a losing score.
Would you play Holmes?
So Chris Scott says each and every week, I don't know whether he's playing. I've been told, the medical staff will tell me if he's right to play. But he said he was right to play.
So he's been told that he's right to
play. So he's right to play. So if he's right to play, he's right to play. So if he's not right to play, he's not backing in his medical staff. Is that what he's saying? So the medical staff aren't going to go, he's right to play, but I'd give him another week. He's right to play or he's not right to play. So this is what frustrates me with Chris Scott. His word salads come back to bite him on the arse at times because he says each and every week, I don't know whether this bloke's right to play. I don't know. I haven't been told. The medical staff. But he said the medical staff said he was right to play.
Yep.
Well, he's right to play him.
Yep.
What's another week going to do if the medical staff have given him the all clear?
I can't answer that, Ben.
So the questions you'd be asking yourself are, if he plays, how sore will he be? Will it impact his ability to play the following week? Would the Cats back themselves to beat Carlton without Holmes? Mm. You'd say yes. Has he been sore at all at training? Is he pulling up sore? Has it been smooth sailing for how long? What long the period of time? Has it been a week? Has it been 2 days? Has it been 2 months? Whatever it's been, has he had 2 weeks of training where he's not sore at all?
Yep.
We don't know all that. But if the medical staff have come to Chris Scott and said Max Holmes, who wears number 9, is fit to play,
fine.
They don't go he's fit to play, but he's fit to play or he's not.
Yep.
So if he's fit to play, play him.
Yep.
Because the other side of the coin is you get a game into him. Now, as good as he is, he's going to have missed time and he's going to have been off his leg.
Yeah, six, 7 weeks.
Yeah, and he's had an injury where he's going to be off his leg. So he's not like when you sort of break your arm or like the Cameron injury where he was running within about a week of having the surgery on the shoulder. So you get a game under Holmes's belt. Now, does that set him up for the following week? I'd say yes. So I think you also want him in the team. Could you put him in limited game time potentially? Could you play him off halfback potentially?
Well, that's where the 23 players now becomes.
There's more to be gained by playing him.
Yep.
And if he's fit to play, play him.
Blitzarves will come back.
Blitzarves back in.
Would you bring Wiltshire back?
No.
So your two changes are Holmes and Blitzarves four?
For Martin. I'd have to think. I can't even think of the team from the last game, Kingy. Who else would be? I'd say Martin is definitely on the outer.
Yep.
Well, I'd be staggered.
Does Polkinghorne keep his spot?
You're probably not dropping out two players who play a similar position. You're not going to drop Polkinghorne and Martin, I wouldn't have thought. Now, has Polkinghorne shown a little bit more than Martin across the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, yes. Martin has the experience. I'd be backing in the kid. You get a final under his belt.
Yep.
Martin, you've got other players there as well. It's not like you're relying on Polkinghorne to kick your four goals. He's the one that can get in under the guard as the fourth taking the fourth best defender, so which he's done really well, and he's been able to kick multiple goals in basically every game, hasn't he?
Is Jai Clark the one in the gun?
No, I wouldn't have thought. I think, and to his credit, I think he's played too well for that.
He had 22 disposals against the Tigers.
He wasn't his best game, but I think he's actually played too well for that. The only thing there would be, Kingy, would be that if they're bringing Holmes back in to play that role, yeah, he certainly would be feeling a little bit uneasy, albeit he'd know now if he was playing.
So Close is not getting dropped?
I wouldn't have thought.
Stewart, no. O'Connor, no. Zach Guthrie, no. The two Henrys, no.
Well, if Jack Henry doesn't play.
Well, it changes how you structure up.
Yeah.
Dangerfield, no. Mullen, no. Neil, no. Myers, no. Atkins, no. Dempsey, no. Martin, maybe. Humphreys, no. De Koning, no. O'Sullivan, no. Jai Clark, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Edwards, no. Manor, no. Cameron, no. Bruin, no. Smith, no. Probably Polkinghorne, no. So maybe it is Clark that's the one that's...
Yeah, and that would be disappointing for him. You know, he's worked hard to get back in and he's played well. But, I mean, that's the reality when you're playing in a team that is good and you've got a full list to choose from, bar Warple. Effectively. So, that's just the reality of footy. But
so if Holmes is not right, you think it'll just be Blitzars for Martin?
I would have thought.
Yep.
That's what I would have thought. And then we'll, that would be my take on things. I mean, Martin just hasn't done enough. We talk about it every week on the Kurzweil Cat Attack podcast. He just baffles me. And the fact he's going around again next year, particularly, I mean, what's happening with, are we getting Toby Green? She's coming to look at the Cats. Well, he's not looking at the Cats. He said he'd do his weights at any time fitness if he had to. He couldn't care less about looking at the facilities. No. That's just the greatest load of shit of all time.
Correct.
I think he's coming to the Cats.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely coming to the Cats. He would have accepted the offer from GWS by now. It's only Geelong or GWS.
Yeah.
They offered him a deal 3 months ago.
And he just said no. Well, he hasn't said no. He just...
I'd be staggered if he isn't at the Cats in next year. The other one is Zach Butters. Now, I'd be staggered if he's not at the Cats.
That's down to Geelong and the Dogs.
Yeah, it's definitely down to the Geelong and the Dogs. But, I mean, you know, there's all this talk about how did Geelong get Zach Butters. So...
you're going to have to give up.
No. So what will happen, Kingy? Do you know what? So my understanding is I was talking to somebody who might know or may not know, but is closer than you and I.
Yep.
Zach Butters wants to play at Geelong.
Yep.
Geelong is his preferred destination. So if they can do the deal, he will be at the Cats.
Yep.
It's Geelong 1, Bulldogs 2. So what will happen is Geelong will have gone to Port Adelaide and said, don't match the bid. You take pick 5 as the compensation. And then we will do, in good faith, do a deal with you outside of that to ensure that you get what you're happy with in terms of our two first-round draft picks this year, next year, a player, whatever that deal is. I have no idea what that deal is. But Port Adelaide would be stupid to match the bid because they miss out on pick 5.
Yeah.
Bulldogs don't have pick 5.
No.
And the Power need draft picks to secure some of these players.
Yes.
They got Louis Salopek,
yep.
who's Stephen Salopek's son.
Dougie Cochran.
So that Cochran is supposedly touted to be the first pick.
Yep.
So pick 4 and 5, if they've got pick 4, Power now.
They finished 16. No, but where did Tassie fall into all of this?
Oh, I don't know, but they've got a first round pick, haven't they?
Yep.
So they will get pick 4 and pick 5, which may be enough for them to jump up and grab Cochran with the first pick, which is, I think, what they want to do.
Yep.
And then that leaves them. Salopek's next year, though, isn't he?
I believe so, yes.
So what could happen, Kingy? The Port use pick 4 and 5 to get Cochran, and then pick 14, and the Cats pick 14.
So pick 4 right now is Port Adelaide. Yep. So there's no, sorry, yeah. Drafting confuses me. I don't get too caught up in it. So there's nothing Tassie related in the national draft.
So they will get the pick as compensation straight after their pick.
Yes.
So they get 4 and 5.
Yep.
Which allows them then to jump up and get Dougie Cochran.
Yep.
As the first pick. Pick 14, then so the Cats would have pick 14 around about?
Well, if they got knocked out this week, they would have pick 12.
Right. So... The Cats, so they would.
So, but that's before nomination. That's before matched bids and all that sort of stuff.
So they also want to accrue draft picks, first round picks, to get Salopek for next year. Because I don't know exactly how that system works, but they need the draft picks. So I have a feeling, Kiggy, that Butters will end up at the Cats, and that's how it will work, yep. Is that there'll be no matching of any bids, because that would be Port Adelaide cutting their nose off spite their face.
Yeah. All right. Let's see how that plays out. The other non-player movement is Andrew Mackie.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Well, it's not happening, but it's being reported.
I'd be very surprised if it doesn't.
He's strongly considering it.
Oh, well, he'd be strongly considering it because when he looked down and saw the numbers that were in front of him, he had to look twice. So he's obviously he's always had a very good relationship with Ken Hinckley.
Correct.
Even across, even after Ken has left and been at other clubs. I remember games when Geelong played Port Adelaide, when we'd go over to Port Adelaide or Adelaide to cover it for K-Rock, and you would see Tom Lonigan and Andrew Mackie in their Cats gear out in the middle of the Adelaide Oval, yeah. Or back in the day at
Footy Football Park.
And, well, can you win a coach, did he?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2012 was his first year.
Yeah, so you'd see them out there talking to Kenny. Yeah. And they've always had a very good relationship with Kenny, kept in touch. He and Mackie are very close, and I'd be very surprised if Andrew Mackie's not at Tassie next year. Now, is that he nor there for the Cats? I don't think so.
Football bosses can be replaced.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The place didn't blow up when Neil Barm, after what, 7 years, 8 years of being the guru.
Yeah.
We moved on.
Oh, and it's not a role that requires, you know.
You need some smarts.
Yeah, but you've also got Stephen Welser in the background who tried to do both.
Yeah.
He was the list manager. And then they had to separate him from, because it was a conflict of interest in terms of managing the list that you set up.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No, you've got to be recruited.
You've got to have somebody that's separate because you see everyone that you've drafted through rose-coloured glasses. So you have to have somebody who has a separate set of eyes in terms of differentiating between what's drafted and how the list is and how they're going and what you can move and what you can't move. So I don't know that... Look, you know, good on Andrew Mackie for finding his way. And I mean, unless Geelong are sort of matching the money and then... You know, I can't see any reason why they would be paying him well overs on what Geelong would be paying him. Now, as a young family, that would impact.
Yep.
So, you know, he'd have to get a few, you know, ducks in a row, for the old cliche. But I'd, you know, no wonder he's strongly considering it, simply purely for the money factor. He's got a young family, and if someone's offering you $400,000 to do a job that you're getting paid $200 for, it's exactly the same job.
Yep.
Where are you off to, Kingy?
You're off to the other one. You're off to the other one.
Absolutely. Have you ever been off to the other one?
Questions?
Can we say a joke that Limo said on...
No. No, you cannot.
About getting a letter from the king?
No. No, you're not telling
me. When you turn 100.
All right, Benny, do you like questions?
Yes, I'm a big fan of questions.
Usually you love questions.
I do. Just a big fan of them today.
You're a big fan, all right. Off... Big footy.
Yeah, big footy.
Big footy.
As opposed to small footy.
Yeah. Howl of 41, sun is shining, the birds are singing, people are cutting other people's grass. It's footy time. Cats record versus Blues recently is average. However, my biased view is that Cats defence and forward lines are better than the Blues.
I just said all that.
Break even in the midfield and we win. Mullen needs a big game. Wondering if O'Connor could run with Cripps. Wife is away Friday night, so I'll be well and truly over refreshing. Go Cats.
Who's that?
That is Howler 41.
Yeah, Howler 41. He loves it. Well, Howler and I are on the same page. I think we're thinking alike.
That's a worry for.
And as long as he's refreshing, he's remaining hydrated throughout the game, Kingy. I'm really looking forward to, because Carlton fans can be, well, sort of annoying is probably the best way to describe them. I'm really looking forward to seeing the fire drill. Halfway through the last quarter.
The Lord of Sleepy Hollow. G'day, yeah. Benny and Kingy. Finals upon us, and we've earned a home elimination final against Carlton at the MCG. Yeah. Keen to know where you guys sit on Geelong being able to play more of our earned home finals at GMHBA. I understand the benefit of MCG experience if we progress, but it still seems strange that a home final means travelling to Melbourne and potentially being outnumbered by opposition supporters, especially now with an increased capacity stadium with the Selwood Stand. The argument is always that the MCG sells more tickets, but imagine telling a Premier League soccer club they had to move an earned home game to Wembley because they could sell more seats. Should a home final actually mean a home final? It should, but it never will.
No.
AFL are maximising attendance. They're about gate receipts, and fortunately a stadium that holds just shy of 40,000 people is not going to cut it. The only way Geelong will host a final at GMHBA Stadium is if they are due to host a final and there are four games in Victoria on the first weekend of a final series.
you reckon that'll happen?
No.
Good.
Well, it happened in 13.
Yep.
So the only...
got beaten.
And got beaten by Freo.
Yep.
Will it happen? Well, you need everything to fall right that it's 1, 2, 5, and 6 are Victorian clubs. Yes, it probably will happen again, but will Geelong be one of those four? Who knows?
Look, and I think the fans, get more up in arms than the players. The players, I don't think they care. The MCG is where you want to be. The cauldron of footy, the experience that players like O'Sullivan, Polkinghorne if he plays, Edwards, even the raft of younger players who have played some finals but aren't yet, really finals sort of hard. And the experience they'll get from playing in front of 95,000 on Friday night will be invaluable for them going forward. So, yeah, look, would it be nice to play at home? Yeah. Does it matter? Should we beat Carlton regardless? Yes. I sort of tire of the, we should get a home final every year. It's the same discussion we have. It's not happening. So we just need to move on. And I think if you ask the players, what response do you reckon, Kingy? If you ask the 23 on Friday night, if you said, would you rather be playing tonight at the MCG in front of 95 or at home in front of 36? What do you reckon? Do you reckon you get unanimous playing at home in front of 36?
No.
I don't reckon you would either.
No.
No. I think there'd be a large cross section of players who would actually really enjoy going to the MCG. And do you know what the whole little bit against you, the crowd's a little bit against you.
Which it will be Friday night.
Yeah, it will be. 100% it will be. Geelong thrive on that.
Mm.
That helps you, doesn't it? India, no. I reckon. I mean, there'll be enough Geelong supporters there to roar when they kick a goal.
Yeah.
But, will they get over roar when Carlton kick a goal? Yes.
Yes.
But does that just create a little bit of needle for the team? I just think it's, I think the Cats would prefer. I'd love to do that, Kingy. Do you think we could arrange that? I think we could do a quick family feud survey.
A snap poll.
Yeah, of the team to see where they would rather play on Friday night.
Yeah. Daz Broncos, lads, trust all is well. Can we get a wellness update on Benny's favourite wide receiver, Jamar Chase, after going down at practice?
Yeah, he's fine. Daz, he's not training this week, but he's okay, old Jamar.
When's your first exhibition game?
No, we're finished.
Oh, you're done?
So pre-season's over.
How'd you go in pre-season?
Unbeaten. First time since 20 years.
Right.
Mind you, their pre-season games are...
Yeah, they're mockery.
Burrow played like a quarter.
Yeah, right.
So they have training sessions against other teams, which simulate games. So that they get their sort of work in. Other than the games are, because they have so many on the roster. The preseason games are just to see who gets sort of spot 40 to 53. So so we're unbeaten, King. And look, Daz, I tell you what. I've never been. My pants are already starting to come down.
Lister down to 53. It's time to get serious. Go Broncos.
Yeah, well, he's a big Broncos will be around.
Hence why he's called Daz Broncos.
Well, we're in the AFC as well, so we're in the same side of the draw as the Broncos. Yeah. And it could be us. It could be the Bengals and the Broncos in the AFC Championship game.
Reminds me of that great line from The Simpsons.
What's that?
Oh, no. The Denver Broncos. I think he inherits a football team or something like that, and it's the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, were you happy with that?
No.
They've been a pretty strong team though, over the years.
Yeah, but they weren't back when that Simpsons gag was. Yeah. Speaking of serious, how can Jack Martin be in the 23 in the expense of Polk? If that happens, I'm feeling Lockie Henderson at full forward vibes. If Mullen takes Walsh, can O'Connor go to Cripps around the ground as being a stopper as well? It's time to end the Blues fairy tale.
Do we need to tag Cripps?
No,
I don't. Look, he's a good player. I don't think we need to tag. Walsh and Smith are the two you need to hone in on. And Mullen, as we mentioned, hones in on one, and you need to pay attention to the other. Now, Kingy thinks it's Walsh, and I'm really disappointed if it was Walsh, but my argument would be for Smith as a more creative player.
P.S. Kingy, did you get your account on Twitter, X back, and is there a Cat Attack podcast, again, with Bowie for the women's space? My Twitter has been hacked. I'll have to create a new account. Somebody, legitimately hacked my...
And what did they send out?
Crypto. That I'd made money in crypto and I was driving an Audi.
Really?
Yep. Which means it's legitimately been hacked because I ain't driving an Audi. I drive a beat up 2010 Ford Focus.
Right.
Yep.
I hacked into someone's phone once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Right.
And he'll remain anonymous. His name was Darren Berry. When we were having fizzy drinks after a game in Adelaide.
And what did you do?
Well, he left his phone on the bar.
Is there anything you can is the story tellable? Or am I going to have to edit?
No, it's sort of terrible. I'll leave out the bit you need to edit, but he left his phone on the bar and I worked out his passcode would have been his date of birth. So I got into his blower.
So you went to Wikipedia, got his date of birth.
I knew it was, I think it was 1969. And so it worked. I thought, hey, how good is this? So I had the keys to his blower and I scrolled, I got into his messages. And, who do you think I text that would be in Darren Berry's phone?
Shane Warne.
Yes, I text Shane Warne. I text Shane Warne and I just inform Shane that Darren, and obviously Shane thought it was Darren, that, you know, Darren was just sort of...
He'd made altered his life choices. Right. Yes. There you go.
And then I put his phone back and then we had a fizzy drink and then the phone lights up and it's Shane on the blower. And then he texts him to say, I hope you're okay, mate.
That's gold. Yeah, yes, anyway. Darren Berry, actually, our old colleague of ours, a life member of Cricket Victoria during the week.
Yeah, good.
So congratulations to the ferryman.
Yes.
As we used to call him, because he Darren Berry travelled
by ferry
yes. to come across and call games here. Off the KFC X, Benny, which will be
triple X.
Yes, what's the phone number people can text on Friday night?
0456 955 955. It's taken me 26 weeks to get that down pat, but 0456 955 955. Get involved on the text line during the game. Although it's difficult to read them out. What we should do, Kingy, this week, instead of me banging on about stats, we could actually have a little bit of a halftime, some of the four, you know.
Yeah, we can do that.
A bit of a talk.
Yep.
About what's so, because it is difficult. Obviously, I can't do it during the game, but, and then we usually only do it pre-game and after the game. But we might do some stuff at halftime. So if you want to text your thoughts or even get through on the X, we can do that at halftime. Yep.
Andrew Daly, surely Marshall is worth more than like three Mars bars and a slab of close expiry Pepsi Max from NQR than SDK. Mackie to Tassie, more chance of watching and enjoying Caddyshack 2 than that happening. I can tell you, Andrew Daly, I think Tassie's more of a chance than him staying at Geelong.
You think?
Mackie, yeah.
Yeah, I think Tassie's way more of a chance. But I'm right about Marshall and De Koning. There must be something else to that deal other than a straight swap. It'd have to be.
Dr. Venkman, NYC, it's squeaky bum time, as Sir Alex Ferguson coined back in the day. The finals are here, and let's hope the Cats can end the bag as fairy tale. Thoughts on how to stop Wietering from being the brick for proverbial? Do we unleash danger in the guts like last year's prelim?
No. I wouldn't have thought. If we're putting danger into the guts, we're probably in trouble. I mean, it could be something you could use very sparingly, but I wouldn't be thought that wouldn't be your one wood. As we mentioned before.
It's more your hybrid three.
It's more like your seven wood.
Chris Quine, gents, what's the likelihood of SDK of Scott playing Edwards and Blitz in the ruck and SDK fullback? It's clearly our best combo, in my opinion.
Absolutely, Chris.
Martin out for Blitz. No idea who comes out for Holmes.
Yeah, well, we're exactly on the same page. We don't know it, and Kingy could be right. It may be Clark, purely for the position that Holmes is coming back into fill. It wouldn't be for anything to do with form. I think Martin goes out for form.
Damien Tedesco, boys, with all
Mr. Tedesco,
with all the hype around the game on Friday night, you would think Carlton have already won. Kingy, what is all the talk with SDK? Just because he misses two games, he wants out. Surely Marshall isn't worth the same. Let's just hope we start well and the crowd will. That didn't make a lot of sense, but anyway, look, if Geelong want Rowan Marshall, St Kilda are going to ask the question of Sam De Koning to reunite the brothers.
Yeah, and there's got to be something other to that deal.
Yeah.
I've got a question too, Kingy.
Yes.
From Rainsy. It says, do we chase Marshall? Happy with junk?
But no, I don't think you do.
But a backup would be handy, and Marshall isn't a backup. Reece moved really well in the Magoos against... he's obviously got injured since then, hasn't he?
Yeah, they hope he'll be back for the prelim.
But he turns 36 in December. Do we keep him or Blitzarves? So Blitzarves is apparently signing a one-year deal.
Yep.
I reckon put a line through Loch Ness.
Yep.
Pike looks way off as yet. VFL finals will be a good test. So the Cats obviously won that final. Rainsy sent that through last week before the Cats beat Tassie in the qualifying final and won through to a prelim.
They did. Marky Mark, Cassinelli's number one season ticket holder, 5th Cats versus 10th Blues at the MCG. Makes sense. So obviously not happy with the...
Well, somebody made a point, Kingy. Do you think it's right that the 10th place team gets exactly the same right as the 5th placed team?
No.
But
the wild card's here to stay.
Yeah, the wild card's not going anywhere. But do you think that... So it's much harder to finish 5th than 10th.
Correct.
So 10th...
But you've still got to win your way out of a 10th versus 7th game.
True, but the 10th is now getting exactly the same opportunity as 5th.
Mm.
So, and I think we've got, you're getting more than 50% of your teams in any competition into a final.
Yep.
I'm not a subscriber for that. I just think it's and people say, oh, the NFL had wild cards. Yeah, well, they only have 14 teams make finals of 32. They don't have 20 teams making finals.
Same with baseball.
Yeah, it dilutes the finals. Is it a money making thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. So I don't. If that's your sole goal, I think you're diluting the what's the word, Kingy? You're sort of diluting the what is it, Tom?
The prestige.
Yeah, prestige, something along those lines. It probably wasn't the word I was thinking of, but it was something along those lines. You're
diminishing?
Yeah, you're diminishing the sort of the content. You're diminishing to get more teams. And where does it stop? Mm. Tassie comes in and then what, we're going to have 12 teams make the
finals?
Never
go any further than this. Hezza, how's the forward line going to line up? Many possible permutations and combinations.
The forward line? Well, we mentioned that. I have this feeling Cameron will start up the ground, but we'll mix forward. You're going to have Neil, you're going to have Ollie Henry, you're going to have Dangerfield, you're going to have, we hope Polkinghorne gets a crack. You'll have Close in there as a smallish forward, and then you'll have Manor and Myers as sort of, you know, swinging, Manor swinging into the midfield. Now, we saw, it'd be really interesting, Kingy, we saw Shawnee Manor give Richmond a short back and sides. Now, yeah. It was only Richmond, but he played predominantly in the midfield. I reckon, and I don't know this to be true,
I reckon
he played the most minutes he's played in any game this year in the midfield.
Probably in his career.
And what do you have, 30 in kick four? It's 2 weeks ago. Does he play as a permanent midfielder?
33 in kick three.
Yeah, it was a pretty good game. Does he play more as a permanent midfielder this year, this week?
Potentially.
In a final?
Yep.
Play as a midfielder?
Yep.
I wouldn't mind that.
No, wouldn't be upset with that.
I would not mind that if that was happening.
Yep.
I think that adds a different mixture to you around the ball.
Mitchie, don't care if it is the reason we don't win a GF in the next couple of years. Keep SDK and keep bleeding Edwards, or blooding Edwards. Will be an elite replacement for Premiership King Reece Stanley in time. Marshall would be a good get, but stick thick with junk.
Well, I've mentioned this before on the Kerr's Eye. You can't just go into next year with Mitch Edwards as your ruckman. Right. Stanley's retiring. Loch Ness Conway, you could not rely on him for three seconds.
Do we know Stanley's retiring?
He is not going on, surely. He got one game this year and then was never seen again. They've lost his magnet. He's injured. He's end of the year injured. He is not going around
next
again.
Next to Jed Buse's magnet.
I saw Jed Buse this morning.
I spoke to him yesterday.
Yes. So So we've got Edwards. Stanley gives it away. We've got Conway, who can't be trusted. You know, he just...
Pike and Mollier.
And they're miles away.
Yep.
So we have one ruckman. It makes sense to get Marshall because, two years, on a two-year deal, he comes in and plays in the ruck while you develop Edwards.
Yep.
You're not relying on Edwards. Marshall has shown himself to be...
capable up forward.
Yeah, I wouldn't be playing him as a permanent forward, but he is not out of his depth playing forward. So you've got to have something else there. Now, is DeConing straight swap for Marshall? I can't see that. There's got to be something else there, whether it's another pick Geelong get, which then they can use to facilitate another trade.
A 30-odd-year-old ruck.
A 31-year-old ruck versus a in-his-prime 25-year-old...
key defender.
Who's probably going to finish top 10 in the Cats' best and fairest.
Yeah. Nuff from Corio.
Oh, Nuff. We love a bit of... what's Nuff got for
us? Rumour has it Benny sent the link of the Bluetooth story to Kingy, and now Tom's ex account is hacked. Do you ever get hacked when it comes to the X, Ben? Carlton versus Geelong, the first since 95 in a final.
Nuff, I have a story about the X.
Nuff still cries about the Gary Ayres note coaching masterclass that day. Did you know Nuff from Corio has a photo of you holding the Geelong Cup wearing a mask during COVID from 2021 as his avatar?
Really?
Yep. It's obviously somebody you know very well.
Well, I don't know who it is. They've kept it quiet.
They've done great.
They've done very well.
Yep.
I wonder if they might be able to tell me the story about the when we went to the Triple X.
No. Anyway, Ben. On that note,
that must. I wonder where they got that photo from. They might have got that off somewhere.
Nathan Buckley's joining us pre-game.
Is he?
Yep.
Bucks.
I did ask for Andrew Mackie.
The fittest player on the Cats list.
I did ask for Andrew Mackie, but
we got knocked back.
But surprisingly, now that he's being talked about with Tassie. He's not coming on K-Rock.
So. Do you think the Cats are winner Friday? You haven't said.
It's a toss of the coin.
You think it's a toss of the coin?
I legitimately think it's a toss of the coin.
I think the work experience people have set the markets for this game.
You reckon Geelong are raging favourites?
Well, they should be, but they're not. I mean, they're favourites, but the line is like a goal at $1.90 something. Now, I don't know, I might be stupid, but I might have this completely wrong, okay? But I just think the Cats will win. They're not going to win by 10 goals, but I think that they'll win, you know, under a grip.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.